get going. Hour number three. We have an awful lot to cover. We won't get through it all tonight. We'll try and pick up the rest of it on Wednesday, but by then you know what will happen. We'll be doubled up again. It's coming at us very fast, very furiously, and ultimately for far too many, deadly. And I'm not joking. COVID-19 vaccines. That term should be stricken from any common use in any alleged journalist or repertorial venues. It is a designed, incredibly sophisticated, developed, created, and deployed pandemic, genocidal, bioweapon. It is not a vaccine. Never would be, never could be, and the more we study this, the more we learn that this is so insidiously, satanically sophisticated and ugly to the human body that I am beginning to think that our colleague, Erica Kahn, is correct when she says it is potentially an ELE. It is that bad, and I am not exaggerating. Today, in New York City, school children, these innocent little beautiful children, beginning at age 5, are being injected with this bioweapon. Bioweapon. Their bodies are being destroyed already. Sure, some will show little, if any, injury immediately, but before this week is out, in all likelihood, we're going to see some real horror, and it is truly heartbreaking to watch this go on. I just don't know how any parent who has even an inkling that this is dangerous and insane would allow their children to go to school. You know, even if you want to take this bioweapon aside, why would you want your child in a government school only to be brainwashed into oblivion and dumbed down into grotesque stupidity? Yes, I know there are exceptions, but not enough. So you've got it coming and going. Get your damn kids out of the schools. No to the bioweapon. Don't call it a vaccine to the school. Call it a bioweapon. It's what it is. We may have 2 million Americans murdered already. We don't know for certain, but that's a pretty darn good guess. It may be more than that. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
I must say I have a bit of a heavy heart about all this. When I see little children, childhood innocence and joy is one of the most precious commodities of this ostensibly and alleged sentient species on this planet. And when that is targeted for abject horror and destruction, you begin to wonder exactly who or what is running this planet. Now, we've talked about this before, and we have a pretty good idea. And I've mentioned to all of you out there that it goes up to the global elite. We know what they want. They want to remove around 7 billion people. And I asked one member of that group one time, straight away. I said, when I trace up the power structure to the top levels of the globalists, does it stop there or does it go off planet? And he said, it goes off planet. Actually, he just said, yes, it goes off planet. But we don't know really what... If you're an average person and you watch commercial television for news, you're doomed. You don't have a chance. It's over. You're done. And that's the truth. So, Erica, they're beginning to inject this bioweapon into our children in this country. As of today, formally, it began, and it's going to continue.
It's tragic, to say the least. I don't have words
No, I find myself in the same position. What do you say to such inhuman, unhuman, non-human behavior? And I'll take it a little bit further, and I did mention this before. I have a sneaking suspicion that this, if you follow their timeline, their projected timeline, what they want to do is remove 80 to 90% of the people, leave 10% here to serve them. I think there's an argument to be made that this is a mass cull and replacement operation. I think that we may well end up seeing, we'll call it the next gen of humankind, to be a little bit melodramatic, you could say ET hybrids, whatever you want to say. But I think that the idea of the word replacement needs to be looked at very carefully and studied much more. No one else is even saying it. I don't mind sticking my neck out. I've watched this for a long, long, long time. And the idea of human hybrids is well known. If you've ever read Professor David Jacobs' book, The Threat, you'll understand precisely what it's about. And one thing David Jacobs came up with, at the end of his book, he said, whatever this operation has been, and it has been, he said they seem to be done with it. They've accomplished what they wanted. In other words, maybe they have enough human hybrids hanging around up there or down here walking among us. You can't tell by looking. So we will see. We will see. Anything you want to add to that? Well, I'm going to jump into our main course here, or part of it anyway.
Yeah, I would agree that possibility is worthy of consideration. Especially the more you look at this piece of RNA that was initially attached to a virus to do its damage and is now being included in these injectables to take up residence within human cells and also bacterial cells and quite likely parasitic cells. It's when you understand the dangers of RNA, the fact that it's not only a substrate for holding information, but also an enzyme that enables it to copy itself, repair itself, and perpetuate itself, it becomes quite frightening.
But it's not supposed to be able to.
Right.
Funniest thing.
That's what they told us.
We're going to talk more about this a little later. In fact, in about 10 minutes, we're going to get into the bacterial issue that Erica has been first to present. And we have an adjunct to that, and it's called parasites. Wait till you hear this. First, what I wanted to do, and this is really interesting. We have some truly heroic, brilliant doctors on this planet who get it, who understand what's happening, who understand the big picture. Right now, what is being done, obviously the direction this is being taken, and the complicity of governments, of people, of powers that we may not even fully understand. This gentleman's name is Dr. Chetty, Chetty. He is in South Africa. I think you're going to like this in terms of a succinct presentation of reality. This man absolutely nails it. So it's about 10 minutes. We're going to let it go, I think, through the whole presentation, but I want you to pay, please, close attention. I will post it in the archive tonight and in headlines as well. So here's Dr. Chetty.
We need to understand what the aim is. Everyone knows that there's inconsistencies, that there's fear-mongering, that there's coercion, but we need to understand why. Why is that there? Now, the most important thing I think for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction, spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made.
One of the most contrived toxins, poisons that man, humans, has ever made. And it's being injected every time a needle is put into an arm. You've got to think about this. This is a big, big story. It may be the end of planet Earth as we have known it for however many tens of thousands or half a million years we've been here in one form or another. All right. The spike protein, the most deadly thing humankind has ever produced.
And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it. So it's a poison with an agenda. Now, we've got an engineered virus and we've got a mandated vaccine that follow on each other. So basically what looks like has transpired here, they've engineered a virus and put on this weapons grade package onto it called spike protein. Now, spike protein,
well,
remember...
I do want to sing something from Telegram.
Sorry, please, Grace, can you mute your mic, please?
Put your finger and you hold the finger down.
Sorry, okay, let me just...
They had a little tech problem. Here we go. Hold on.
Grace there. Sorry, Dr. Shankara, please continue.
Yes. So now we've got this most elaborately engineered toxin. Now, it's been put into a virus, or let's call it a vector, and we've exposed the planet to a small dose of it. Now, initially, spike protein triggers an allergic reaction. And the allergic reaction, if untreated, causes death. It's what we've seen with COVID illness. But that is not the end game. That is to test the water. So you're going to get a small percentage of people react. We'll see all the deaths. The eighth day is when this reaction occurs, so best we isolate the planet for 14 days, so nobody notices when this occurs. People get to hospital too late. We mandate protocols in hospitals to engineer death and damage, to steer all the fear and the rest that we need. We create all the confusion. We make sure we steer humanity towards mass formation. We take away all the faith that we have, all the hope. We keep people isolated. So we've been conned into thinking giving away our freedoms would be the best thing for us. So the safest place for us was in jail. And that's where we all are at this point in time. But the game that they played with this engineered virus was to justify the vaccination of the planet. Now, the vaccination of the planet will expose us to spike protein for a longer period. So spike protein, if we understand what it's meant to do, yes, initially it will trigger an immune response and an allergic kind of reaction, and we'd have immediate deaths from that. But you don't poison someone and they die immediately, you'll notice the poisoning. So straight away, when you give a vaccine, the first 14 days after a vaccine, any side effects cannot be attributable to the vaccine, because that is where all the allergic reactions would lie. Following that, we're going to see the endothelial injuries that this vaccine causes with its, or the spike protein, with its influence on ACE2 receptors. Those are the deaths that are meant to follow, and they will never be pinned onto spike protein, a very well-engineered toxin. Now, spike protein is also a membrane protein. So the mRNA will distribute this throughout our body. It will be made in various tissues around our body. It will be incorporated into those membranes around our body, into those specific tissues. Those tissues will be recognized as foreign, and will trigger a host of autoimmune responses. So the deaths that are meant to follow the vaccinations will never be able to be pinned on the poison. there will be too diverse, there will be too many, and there will be too in broad a time frame for us to understand that we have been poisoned. And I think this is the big plan. It is dependent, this toxin is dependent on the host's response to it. Just like the eighth day and what followed COVID infection or illness was dependent on a host response. So we got mild, moderate, and severe illness post eighth day, and it confused all of us. So we keep talking about COVID pneumonia, but we're chasing the virus, and the virus was just the vector to give us a taste of the poison. Now this toxin in the long term is going to get people with pre-existing illness to have those illnesses exacerbated. It has bits of prion in it. It has bits of HIV protein in it. It is definitely engineered. So people with cancers are going to have their cancers flare up, and we'll say they died of the cancer. People with vessel injuries or predisposition, like our diabetics and hypertensives, are going to have strokes and heart attacks and the rest at varying times, and we'll attribute those to their pre-existing conditions. People are going to develop over time autoimmune conditions, the diversity of which will never be addressed by any pharmaceutical intervention because they are far too targeted. And so we've got a rough road coming. But I think if people understand what the intention is, then we'll understand why what's happened has happened. The illogic, the coercion, the suppression is all warranted if you understand that there is a bigger plan. This plan is to make sure that we can control and kill off a large proportion of our population without anyone suspecting that we were poisoned. And so I think the justification for everything we see is warranted in understanding the end game. We've given up our freedoms. We were told that jail is the best place for us to be secure. So we willingly went down that road. Now today, if we want our freedoms back, they've got a mandated vaccine. We were herded like cattle into a kraal, and the only way out is through the dip. And that is where we lost our freedoms. And so I think there's a huge picture at play. The vaccines make absolutely no sense. We were sold the vaccine as our savior from the start. And if we look at the science does not play out. The vaccine is absolutely nonsensical. We keep fighting about how good or bad the vaccine is. I just want to make 2 points on the vaccinations. Vaccines are meant to stimulate immunity, and in doing so, prevent infection and prevent transmission. That is what gives a vaccine a population or group benefit. So if you take the vaccine, by not getting the virus or transmitting it, you protect me. Now, clearly, that has not occurred. The vaccines do not do that. Now they claim that the vaccine has a benefit in preventing severe illness and death. That is a therapeutic benefit. My intervention with treatment does the same, but I do not expose the entire world to the side effects of my treatment. I only expose sick people to that. And that therapeutic benefit does not come from immunity, but it comes from the vaccine exposing you to spike protein and building a measure of tolerance to an allergen, not to any immune-mediated response to a virus. So the virus distracts us from the big picture. It's spike protein that's the toxin here. Secondly, the prevention of severe illness and death is an individual benefit, if it actually does that. So if you take the vaccine, it prevents you getting severely ill or dying. It has no group benefit and doesn't benefit me at all. So why am I being coerced into forcing you to take the vaccine to benefit me? To just put that into perspective for a layman, skydiving is an individual risk and an individual benefit that does not influence anyone around me. And so my right to choose to skydive is vitally important. Now, they want me to skydive because they say it benefits humanity. Now, they can't prove the science, and they can't tell me how this act of mine is going to benefit humanity. Yet they insist I do it. When I didn't and I can't see the science, they offered me a beer and a donut. But I still don't want to skydive. You still haven't proven the science and tell me how it's going to benefit humanity. Now, it looks like they want to push me out the plane. But when I look up, the parachute they provide me is full of holes. And they don't want to admit to that. And I see a few dead bodies lying on the ground, and they tell me they're fast asleep. I don't believe that. Now, if they can prove a population benefit to the vaccine, maybe I'll take this plunge for the benefit of humanity. But until that point, we are being coerced.
You've never heard it put more succinctly than that. This gentleman is almost singular. His name is Dr. Shankara Chetty, Chetty, and he's absolutely remarkable. That was a brilliant presentation in 10 minutes. Simple. We'll have it up for you so you can look at it and study it. And I urge you to look at it a couple, three times. He just nailed it. What do you think, Erica?
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the better presentations to date that sums it up quite nicely. Doesn't pull any punches.
We have presented here a lot of material, and it's coming on almost a year now that Erica has been working on this with us, and she's now opened two doors. One, she fished up an Italian study which showed conclusively that bacteria can be infected by these bioweapons. Not just your body cells. Remember how they told us in the beginning, your body cells are going to be somehow changed in DNA and it'll be good for you. You're going to produce spike proteins, blah, blah, blah. Well, it does seem now, according to this paper and Erica's research, that bacteria can also become infected with this mRNA and the instructions therein to produce spike protein. That has an enormous impact on this entire field of trying to understand how to address the damage and injuries that are being done with these bioweapons. But now add to that door number two. It looks like parasites can now actually be involved in this process too. They're not being infected, but they can actually replicate the mRNA in your body. And the average human is accessible to at least 130 different kinds of parasites. That's why maybe ivermectin works so quickly and so well for so many people. It's not working so well anymore for most people. It's changed. Why? Maybe the parasites have been vanquished from the body that were replicating the mRNA, leaving behind the changed human body cells that were invaded by the mRNA covered with the nanolipids and setting up shop there. This is another enormous development. Bacteria and potentially parasites, not infected, but actually acting as little factories to make mRNA. This is really getting to be crazy. Erica, go ahead.
Yeah, so we first talked about that last Monday, this Italian study that came out first in March, and then it was as a preprint and was finally peer-reviewed and accepted for general publication in May of this year. And these Italian researchers showed conclusively that the SARS-CoV-2 virus, I'm not talking about the mRNA necessarily, but the virus itself is capable of replicating in bacterial cells. It's acting as what's known as a bacteriophage, which is a virus that infects bacteria. And at first it seemed preposterous because typically viruses have a targeted host, and what will infect a mammalian cell, being a eukaryotic cell, would not, by design, and also be capable of infecting a prokaryotic cell, which is a bacterial cell. And the fact that this can do both is extraordinary. And so it isn't just a matter of your body cells becoming victim to this virus, but your bacteria, your gut microbiome or digestive system microbiome, the microbiome that lives within your sinus cavity, or anywhere else, on your skin, any other orifice. I mean, we are colonized with bacteria, and when we're healthy, there is a higher percentage of beneficial bacteria, symbiotic bacteria, than there are pathogenic bacteria when we're in a state of health. Unfortunately, most Americans, because of the diet and the stress and all the other insults that we put ourselves under, we tend to have more pathogenic bacteria that create disease than we do the beneficial ones. But so it seems as though once our native bacteria become infected with this particular coronavirus, it starts producing toxins that are similar in nature to those found in various venoms, such as the sea snail, or similar to snake venom. And of course, those are renowned for their neurotoxic effects, hemotoxic effects, meaning coagulation. And thereby will weaken the host. Just having these toxins permeate the body, even at low levels, is going to cause problems. And that may be, you know, what's underlying some of these neurological and clotting disorders that we're seeing in people who have received the vax or been infected with the actual virus. But taking it one step further, it's now known that parasites, meaning helminths and ascarids and worms, things of that nature, act as RNA replicators. So what's being injected with the vaccines, or these injectables being mislabeled as vaccines, is a strand of RNA that maybe on its own may not replicate, but if there are parasites present, the parasites can replicate that RNA so that it can perpetuate itself, repair itself, and self-organize and become, I guess, another competing life form within your body, you're overriding your own genetic code. So this may be why they are so eager to get ivermectin away from people, because obviously if you reduce your parasite load, you're going to inhibit this aspect of the plan, and reduce the ability of that RNA to keep copying itself. And I've said all along that the RNA is the most insidious part of this bioweapon. We don't quite know what it's coding for. We only know what they're telling us it's coding for, which is this nefarious spike protein that's doing all this damage. But anyway, it seems as though having a healthy gut microbiome, or just microbiome in general, is imperative to resisting this intoxication and reducing your parasite load. So I'll leave it at that. There's a lot to think about here, but this is not your average virus that goes away.
When you say that parasites don't become infected, that they actually act as a replicator for this mRNA, is that most parasites, certain parasites, all parasites? Do we know?
I don't know. That's a whole other area of research.
Sure.
But it seems integral to this RNA being able to sustain itself and replicate itself. So having a high parasite load would be, you know, to the advantage of these perpetrators to, you know, accelerate this plan, which seems to be an extinction-level event. I don't know what else to call it. Because, you know, once it's uptaken, this RNA operating system is uptaken by bacteria, by the host cells, and now by parasites, it's impossible. I mean, it's implausible to think we're ever going to be free of it. They've let it loose.
They've not only let it
loose. I want to give credit to Dr. David Martin for bringing this to the forefront, this concept of Darwinian chemical systems that Moderna has been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
It's research pertaining to RNA and the development of synthetic biology for the purposes of a post-extinction rewrite of the genetic code.
This is we're going to talk more about this on Wednesday. This is a stunner. This is going to shake you down to your toes. You just repeat that last part again, if you would, Erica. This is really important to understand. If this is an ELE, an extinction level event, engineered and deployed by the global elite and perhaps their controllers, who may not originate from this planet but certainly are here, we've got maybe even a much bigger problem than anyone has thought about. If you can repeat that last part again, what Martin said.
Okay, this is under the concept of Darwinian chemical systems, which is a post-extinction rewrite of the genetic code. So that essentially it means that they will maintain, I suppose, our original DNA, what we were born with, and then modify it to their at their discretion, to their liking, or their whatever they're aspiring to do with it.
It's not looking real encouraging. The more we look, the more you look, you're the scientist, and the more I read, the more I learn from you, and I'm not looking at many other programs at all except to try to dissect them and see where they're going and coming up short in many cases. The more I learn about this, the more I start to again go back to that word replacement. Are we being not just cut down, that's the plan, are we going to be replaced? And I think the answer certainly is out there. The truth is out there. It needs to be studied. We need to watch this. And we need to understand that we are most certainly not alone in the universe and the galaxy, and probably not even the solar system or on this planet. This is not a good situation. And it's looking worse all the time. And I apologize for bringing this much negativity forward, but I will not lie to you, nor will Erica. We don't do that. These are facts, and the facts must be understood. And if this is an ELE, somebody's coming in here to take the place of many of the people who are going to be removed. That's my personal opinion. I'm not speaking for Erica. But I think she tends to agree with that possibility.
Yeah, the fact that, this does not seem to be limited to humans. I mean, now they're going after people's pets. They're claiming, and maybe rightly so, that cats and dogs can become reservoirs for this, well, whatever, coronavirus. But really, it's, I believe, the spike protein and or the mRNA. And now zoo animals? So it isn't limited to humans. They are apparently intent on wiping out all mammalian species and maybe more.
Okay, I hope that made a little dent in your thinking, a positive dent. We have to keep working on this. And again, I don't want to belabor the point, but honestly, the more that I learned from Erica and my own reading and so forth, the more astonishingly well-planned and well-executed this entire operation of injecting all humanity with this bioweapon is. It is so sophisticated that the more you look, the more horror you see. Is that a fair statement, Erica?
Yes, and I don't think we're letting our imagination run wild here, because much of this is described in the various modes or methods of bioweapons in that 2018 report that we talked about a few weeks ago, called Biodefense in the Age of Synthetic Biology. They talk very specifically about weaponizing existing viruses or bacteria, about modifying the microbiome of a host so that it will produce toxic substances to weaken, if not kill, the host. And I believe we're seeing that now with this evidence that the bacteria that humans naturally contain or host are capable of becoming infected with this foreign gene and producing peptides and proteins and toxins that can ultimately kill or disable the host.
Okay, that bacteria is an enormous issue, and that Italian paper cannot be overestimated in its potential.
I'm surprised. I guess I'm not surprised, really, given the climate, that it's not receiving more attention.
Well, it is here. The parasite, imagine the parasite is a little machine to go around replicating this mRNA package, okay? Now, what does that tell us? It tells us a number of things. Number one, the idea of shedding takes on a new dimension. That's what it tells us. We know now that spike proteins are being shed. We know with virtual certainty that the mRNA packets or packages are being shed. And let's go back a little further. What little Lord Satan Fauci said, well, we just want to get 80% injected. And what was my first reaction to that? Probably like many of yours. Well, what the hell about the other 20%? Well, no problem, because there's going to be a way to transmit it from the vaxxed to the unvaxxed. And that's called shedding, we found out. Comment on that, Erica? Shedding?
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis
the
mRNA? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we know from the Moderna patent that the exosomes, or exosomes from the vax, can be shed into the environment and to be picked up by other organisms in the environment. I strongly suspect that the viruses that exist within people are also capable of acquiring this mRNA and incorporating it into their own genome and then becoming chimeras of sorts. So I believe we're seeing an increase in new viruses with endowed with spike protein, possibly. And now we have bacteria that are, if they become infected with this mRNA or the virus itself, can start producing very toxic compounds that will cause neurological symptoms. And
we may have lost our connection there. Okay, we'll see if we can get Erica back, but she was summing it up perfectly, and the whole idea here is that shedding now takes on a new potential, right? Not just the spike protein, but the mRNA, and in terms of adenovirus, chimeric adenoviruses. In other words, your body may get together and make a novel virus out of an adenovirus, especially if you take the J&J, or if you have had the common misfortune of having adenovirus infection in your body. Okay, you back, Erica?
I'm back.
Okay, I was just mentioning we've got spike protein shedding, mRNA shedding, and I was getting into the adenovirus shedding as well, carrying the mRNA, I guess, with it, or whatever. And in other words, that 80% original target is looking like it was just a canard to get people to look the other direction from becoming virtually inoculated with the bioweapon without having had a needle.
I think that's accurate, yes. And now, if we consider this other, next dimension to this bioweapon, meaning the bacteria that acquire this genetic code, that now, once infected, they start producing these toxins, neurological or hematological blood toxins, those are being, I'm not sure, exuded into the environment. They can be picked up either as aerosols or contact exposures, weakening the host or whoever picks them up, such as dogs or cats or other people, and sickening them to the point of almost as if they were vaxxed.
And that may be where this is going to end up. Maybe there is a way to vax people, especially when you test them, and I use the word test advisedly, three times a week with a Schwab, a Klaus Schwab up your nose. What are they putting up there? Where are those Schwabs made? Look at the packet. I looked at seven of them. They're all made in China. What do you think they might be putting in those Schwabs that they're introducing into your nasal or oral mucosa? And going back to the microbiome. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you consider that these Schwabs they're not your typical Q-tip. They're like bristles, like a toilet brush. So they breach at least some of the mucosal membrane when they scrape it. It's hard not to think that they are not putting something in there, such as a segment of RNA that's
right.
coded to infect your bacterial cells.
Right. The average person.
That may be all it takes.
That's right.
To start
that may be all it takes. That may be it. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe you get six Schwabs and you're vaxxed. Who knows?
Right. It may just be a matter of infecting somebody's microbiome in the nasopharyngeal cavity, in the sinus cavity, or even in the throat. I mean, we have bacteria all over us, in us. And if they can succeed in infecting that bacteria with this mRNA or RNA, that may be all it takes. That's the first step in weakening the host to make them susceptible to all manner of diseases.
7 pounds, 6 to 7 pounds, the amount of bacteria the average adult has in his or her digestive tract. That's your microbiome. If that gets infected, well, figure it out.
The parasites, which, you know, nobody wants to talk about it, but almost everybody has parasites at some point in their life. The parasites will sustain and replicate the RNA. So you don't really need a vaccine. The parasites will do it for you.
Think about it. All right, we're going to stop there. I want to play a little bit of, we talked about this earlier. Erica agrees. This is Dr. T and Dr. P. Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. Pilevsky, their episode number 69. Very good. I'm going to play a little portion of this one because Dr. Pilevsky raises some very important points. I hope you heard the beginning of the program. Listen to the rerun if you didn't. Dr. Chetty from South Africa, extraordinary. I've never seen Pilevsky any better than he is in this particular video. Here we go.
Hey everybody, welcome. November 4th, 2021. Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. Welcome, Dr. T and Cookie. How are you tonight? Tired. Did we wake you up from a nap?
Nope. No. I've just been running since early this morning. It's been a long day.
So I know there's a lot to talk about. I wrote a list out, a lot of the stuff you already know, so I want to go over it. But I want to start with good news. Besides the Republican victory in Virginia, which seems to be good news because it does seem to lay the groundwork for what might happen in the rest of the country come next year in 2022.
Yeah, I'm going to move Larry ahead a little bit here. I don't want to hear about West Virginia here.
He's tired. Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices on November 2nd authorized the administration of the modified COVID injection for children 5 to 11 years of age. The vote was 17-0. With one abstention. And Dr. T, did you read what the doctor said as to why he abstained? He said, there's not enough evidence that all children need the shot. Now, doesn't that mean you vote no? Why do you vote abstain if you say there's not enough evidence that all children need the shot? Isn't that a no vote? So, for the public that's asleep, it doesn't appear as if the administration has been working on this for months. For the public that's awake, we realize that this rollout has been going on for months, which means that it was automatically going to happen. There was no public involvement. There was no science. There was no government involvement. It was just done. And so Hartford Healthcare, if you saw that article that I posted today, Dr. T, Hartford Healthcare is already opening its clinic for Monday, I believe it is, for kids to start getting their shots.
Yeah, and it was on the news this morning that they're already going to set up, they're already going to be setting up vaccination centers in schools. Over 6,000 schools have agreed to become vaccination centers, and they are anticipating vaccinating 500 children a day. What's the rush, Larry? What's the frickin' rush?
Well, again, it's not about science. You know that. Because what was their comment? Their comment was that children are not at risk for dying from COVID-19. I think that was part of the information that came out of ACIP, that they're not at risk, but yet they're still going to get the shot. There is no rush other than the globalists' control of people's minds. And here's what I want to say, and I hope that you clip this and that you you send it out. Hundreds of thousands of mothers and fathers over the last 30 to 40 years, perhaps even in the millions, went to their doctor completely trusting that they were putting their kids in the hands of trusted doctors. And when they voiced any concern or any kind of wonder about the shots that their kids were going to get, the doctors across the board said, don't worry, they're safe. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions of children, were either killed or severely damaged within hours, days, weeks, months, and years. To the point now where we have 1 in 5 children with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 36 with autism, 1 in 10 with ADD, ADHD, 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with allergy, with seizures, 1 in 9 with asthma and allergies, with fatal allergies and asthma increasing, autoimmune diseases increasing in exponential amounts. And every time those parents screamed, yelled, ranted, raved, stood on mountaintops, the doctors, the media, the government, the scientists, all said, you're crazy. And so because our authorities have been able to single-handedly diminish and disempower the experience of millions, if not more than millions of people, adults and kids, we are now entering vaccine autism round 2.
Okay, we're going to pause there. Now, we'd invite all of you to go to the homepage. Look on the right-hand side. You know where the archive is for this whole nightmare. And you'll find Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. Pilevsky. It's right up there. Listen to it. I would urge you to share it. They're both extraordinary in this hour. We'll play more of this on Wednesday night as we continue to keep you updated. Erica, final comment. Do you have any for tonight?
Yeah, I think that's an understatement that it's a new wave of autism. I think it's going to be infinitely worse when you consider the cardiovascular issues that these children are going to encounter.
Yeah. Now, don't forget, everyone, in June, what was approved in June, Erica?
We have a therapeutic for smallpox infection.
Not to mention,
in anticipation of a smallpox outbreak.
Okay, we're going to talk more about that Wednesday. But also in June, they approved a blood thinner, a tablet, for 5-year-old kids. Do you think they knew something last June, maybe?
Yeah, Pradaxa. Pradaxa is now approved for children, I think it was 3 years and up.
It's whatever it is, it's insane. This is not human. This is not human behavior. Understand, I think all of you know that. There's something else at work here, and it's not human. It's satanic. And yes, there is satanic behavior on this planet. Lots and lots and lots of it. Erica, thank you very much for being here. We'll be back Wednesday. You take care.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure.
Okay, good night. Erica Kahn and yours truly, and thank you for being here.